Now, if people want to find more, I understand you have a website. Where would they go to learn more about this?
So you can find all 50 state listings at stopthesteal.us. Over at the top of the page, we highlight the contested states. This is the path to getting Donald Trump 270 plus electoral votes. And look, we have an all-in strategy. Either we overturn this bad election, or we inform the state legislatures of their rights to either send no electors or a diverse slate of electors or Republican-only electors to the Electoral College. And the Electoral College could opt in to giving neither candidate 270. And then, as you know, the House of Representatives turns into a House of States, which would also mean that Donald J. Trump wins. So there are multiple paths for Donald Trump to win. And if everyone goes to stopthesteal.us every day and pushes refresh, then we'll show you the states where we need you. And we'll show you states on Saturday where you can just participate so that we can demonstrate to our American plutocrats and oligarchs that we're not going to take this anymore. And so stopthesteal.us is the official site of the Stop the Steal movement.
Hi, this is Newt. Due to the virus, I'm recording from home, so you may notice a difference in audio quality.
Stop the steal! Stop the steal! Stop the steal!
On this episode of Newt's World, I've heard from many of you over the course of the last 2 weeks asking, what can you do to see President Trump elected to a second term? What can you do about voter fraud and election integrity? I want to address some of your questions today. I'm also really amazed by the weekend turnout in Washington, D.C. of President Trump's supporters. They were organized by a young activist with hashtag StopTheSteal. I'm pleased to welcome my guest, Ali Alexander. Ali, let me ask you, when did Stop the Steal really start to catch on with the president's supporters?
Well, the night of the election, we were left in limbo. The following morning, I was at brunch with a couple of guys that I mentor, and they were saying, Ali, you got to bring back Stop the Steal, which we actually did in 2018 to save Senator Rick Scott's Senate seat and catch all that fraud that was happening in Broward County, Florida, and North Palm Beach, Florida. And they said this one question that just sank my heart. And they said, if you could save the world, why wouldn't you? And I was tired. You know, I'd been running on fumes for 3 months. And I said, okay, well, if I don't have to pull teeth, I'll do it. And when I made the calls to start forming the coalition for Stop the Steal 2020, there was no ego. Everybody understood we had to save the republic. And we got started the very next day. And we had protests in two of the states that night, Wednesday night.
Well, you seem to have a remarkable impact. How many people do you think came out to your D.C. event in support of President Trump?
The D.C. police unofficially and privately are telling us 200,000. I think they're underestimating that a little bit. I think we're looking at 250,000, maybe up to 300,000. People have to understand, not only did we start the program at Freedom Plaza, which we flooded the streets and flooded the alleys, but some of our supporters were there waiting at the Supreme Court for the second part of the program. But we also had people at the White House. And what people need to understand is that no one had ever seen barricades like this. The barricades started 2 and 3 miles out. I've never seen so many police barricades. And so it took a while for people to come in. We had well over 150,000 people before the event ever started. And people just kept coming and coming and coming. But Newt, we also had people in all 50 state capitals, and this was the second consecutive week we had done that. And I'm waiting on the final tallies, but it looks like we experienced 25% in growth from our first Stop the Steal Saturday to what our second Stop the Steal Saturday was.
So how are you actually organized? I understand that there's a report that Stop the Steal had a Facebook page that was shut down on November 5th. So how are you getting the message out?
So we organize at stopthesteal.us. One of our coalition partners, our original coalition partners, started a Facebook group, which is a little bit different than a Facebook page, a Facebook group. You can invite anyone to. But the group did get shut down when I think it had about 360,000 members. And it's reported through the Associated Press that that decision was made at the top of Facebook. And so we're getting out the word. This is what's amazing, because I've been doing this for 14 years. I helped birth the Tea Party movement there in 2009. Even then, you know, it was Facebook or Twitter. Now, if you go to the Stop the Steal protest, people say, I got a text message, I got a phone call, I got an email. What's interesting is I think that we may be deplatforming the deplatformers, and we may be going offline in this sort of 4D guerrilla warfare.
Have you tried to appeal directly to Zuckerberg?
No, I haven't, because I've just been concentrating on putting bodies in the streets. I do have a good relationship with the Facebook government team. I guess I'm one of the few conservatives that do. And I will tell you this, Twitter blocked our link on Twitter. The stopthesteal.us link got blocked on Twitter a couple days prior to DC. And I did make a direct appeal to the executives at Twitter, and they reversed their decision. So we've had a little success with Twitter, but we've had setbacks with MailChimp. Our coalition partner had setbacks with Facebook. They really don't want a certain segment of the American population peacefully assembling.
Have you done anything with Parler?
Yeah, our supporters are using Parler to self-organize. They're experiencing exponential growth, and the hashtag #StopTheSteal is leading the way over there at Parler. It's just so organic. Even though we're in all 50 states, which, you know, mind you, this just started with a tweet. I said, get out in the streets, get out in the streets. We have to know that we're the majority. We only have coordinators in about 37 or 40 of these states, but people are still meeting. And one thing I've encouraged the organizers, and I hope I don't get in trouble, is I said, don't get permits. We have a right to petition our government and peacefully assemble, just like Black Lives Matter. If we start cooperating with this permit process, then we'll start cooperating with the lockdowns. And if we start cooperating with this permit process, the same thing that killed the Tea Party, which eventually was elements of the Tea Party stopped showing up, and then the boomer element came with lawn chairs. I don't want that. I don't want staging. I want a truly populist movement that's reflective of the people and our anger and in our determination to self-govern. That raw energy has allowed our leadership to guide this movement, but we're not going to control it. This is going to be one that's reflective of the American people and sort of that hive mind.
You know what the market hates? Uncertainty. What is more uncertain than a presidential election that hasn't been decided? No one knows which way this is going to go. So you have a very limited time to get in front of this, to get ahead of an economic meltdown. Now is the time to protect your investments, your savings, your retirement. It's time to diversify a portion of your savings into gold or silver with Birch Gold Group. This is the company to trust. Birch Gold will help you legally convert any eligible IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA, or just buy gold or silver to lock in your personal safe. Text NEWT to 474747. Get a free info kit on diversifying into gold, and then call Birch Gold. These guys are the best. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and countless five-star reviews. Text NEWT to 474747 and open a precious metals IRA and secure your savings today. Again, text NEWT to 474747. I understand that you are going to Atlanta in a couple of days. What are your plans for Georgia?
So Georgia has turned into ground zero, and I think that that's truly regrettable. I'll be in Atlanta. I will be at the Capitol every day, and it will crescendo on Saturday, which we plan to have over 5,000 people there. So every day from Wednesday to Saturday at noon, we're going to meet and we're going to cause a ruckus. We have truckers coming in. We have all kinds of folks coming in because, unfortunately, the Secretary of State has turned into a complete buffoon. And this consent decree that the Republican Party signed with the Democrat Party back in 2019 is coming back to bite us in the butt.
Can you explain exactly what the Secretary of State agreed to that caused the current problem?
So in 2019, there was a law change, and this was at the behest of Stacey Abrams, because as we remember, 2018, there was a knockout slugfest between then Secretary of State Brian Kemp, who was running for governor, and then Stacey Abrams, the state senator running for governor on the Democrat side. And so the Republicans wanted to appease this narrative that, oh, Republicans are racist, or Republicans are disenfranchising voters. And so the Republican State House and the Republican State Senate passed a law that relaxed the signature matching requirement on absentee ballots. So if someone requests an absentee ballot and they send it back in, and we say, wait a minute, this signature doesn't match what we have on our government files, it's then filed as provisional ballot. And the provisional ballot gets counted unless it's rejected. But here's the problem, Newt, is if it's rejected, the official who's rejecting it has to put their name on it. So that was a Stacey Abrams ploy, and then it gets what's called cured. But what's happening is that we're not petitioning anything. We're not rejecting anything. So we're having a lot of absentee ballots where the signatures do not match on file. I believe there'd be widespread fraud. There's a case in Pennsylvania. They found, I believe, 1,500 ballots where the signatures didn't match. They called all of them, 556 of them said that they never requested a mail-in ballot. I mean, this election is rigged up and down. It's not just Dominion. It's with mail-in ballots. It's with absentee ballots. We're finding out that we're not as clean as a country as we thought when it comes to a clean election. So that 2019 law has introduced probably tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of ballots into the system that create a larger pool of confusion and less integrity in our election process.
It is, I think, very telling that in 2018, 3.5% of the absentee ballots were rejected. This year was 0.3. So you had a massive increase in the total number of votes. I think there are 1,300,000 absentee votes this year. You'd think with that big a jump, you'd have had more. Instead, you got a tiny number, which in a sense is Stacey Abrams' great victory. She managed to keep 3.2% of the absentee ballots in the system that would have probably been repudiated in 2018. And the Secretary of State was directly complicit in foisting all these additional, about 40,000 additional votes.
It cannot be overstated. That number actually should have grown. And for it to shrink more than 10 times is alarming. Here's another area where the Secretary of State failed. The Democrats will say, well, you Republicans said that we couldn't start counting votes until the day after the election. And that's probably a good thing. But the Secretary of State didn't even require a count from these counties. So what happened? Well, we're finding magic ballots in Fulton County. We're finding magic ballots in Chatham County, you know, down there in Savannah.
Even the Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, has admitted that there are substantial problems in the election. For example, he announced that there were up to 1,000 examples of voters casting two ballots, one by absentee and then one in person, across about 100 counties during the June presidential and statewide primaries and the August runoff elections. Now, he's not indicated yet any finding of double voting in the much, much bigger turnout in November. And this is just one more example of how totally ineffective Raffensperger has been in trying to protect the citizens of Georgia and their interest in having an honest election with an honest count. What does success look like in Georgia?
I think success looks like the governor calling a special session. That's, I think, the top of success. We could go into constitutional limbo, and I should say state constitutional limbo, whereas the Georgia Secretary of State, he's going to certify the election, and that's going to happen Wednesday or Thursday. But if Governor Kemp, who is going to make an announcement either today or tomorrow, if he decides not to put his signature, which would choose the slate of either Democrat electors or Republican electors, then we could be in kind of, like I said, limbo, and that makes this thing entirely legal. But either one would be a success in Georgia. And people need to understand, if we don't get a special session or Governor Kemp decides to sign on to a Democrat slate of electors going to the Electoral College, what courage does that give some of the brave state electeds that we have in Wisconsin and Michigan that have already started investigations or some of the successful lobbying that we're doing in Arizona with StopTheSteal.us. And so that's what success looks like in Georgia. It looks like Governor Kemp bending to the will of the people and then hopefully calling a broad special session. I want till January 9th. I want him to let the session stay in until the day before the term ends. And I want him to give them the oversight over the certification process. And again, the state legislature can pull back and say, okay, we don't care what the statute says. We're pulling back our ability to choose the electors and we're taking away from Governor Kemp. And I think that that gives Governor Kemp also some political cover as well as the state legislature taking back its constitutional duties.
And if you do succeed in Georgia, where do you head next?
We'll be still active in all of these contested states, and we have a protest going on and on and on. And then on Saturdays, it's all 50 states. I'll go with a delegation, a number of our coalition partners. We will probably travel to Pennsylvania first, then Michigan, and then Wisconsin. And what we hope to do is just, again, inform these state House members and state Senate members of their constitutional rights. What has happened is the United States Constitution says that the state legislatures pick the electors that are sent to the Electoral College under the advice of a popular vote that happens at the state level. But they can send whoever they want. But what the state legislatures have done is they have written into laws that, oh, well, the Secretary of State and the governor will handle it as long as we have lists. And it's kind of an agreement between the two parties. What we're saying is be revolutionary. If you think that your election is rigged and tainted, send no electors. Send Democrat and Republican electors, or only send Republican electors, because the voters have chosen, even in these deep blue states, to make the Republican state houses Republican. And that's in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. Those are the three where those are blue states. And so that's where we'll be headed next, is Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, to do some heavy work there. But if we lose Georgia, Newt, it takes away the backbone and the spine of the Republicans in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. So I'd rather be in Pennsylvania right now, but I'm going to Georgia tonight because the fate of the Republic depends on it.
Now, if people want to find more, I understand you have a website. Where would they go to learn more about this?
So you can find all 50 state listings at stopthesteal.us. Over at the top of the page, we highlight the contested states. This is the path to getting Donald Trump 270 plus electoral votes. And look, we have an all-in strategy. Either we overturn this bad election, or we inform the state legislatures of their rights to either send no electors or a diverse slate of electors or Republican-only electors to the Electoral College. And the Electoral College could opt in to giving neither candidate 270. And then, as you know, the House of Representatives turns into a House of States, which would also mean that Donald J. Trump wins. So there are multiple paths for Donald Trump to win. And if everyone goes to stopthesteal.us every day and pushes refresh, then we'll show you the states where we need you. And we'll show you states on Saturday where you can just participate so that we can demonstrate to our American plutocrats and oligarchs that we're not going to take this anymore. And so stopthesteal.us is the official site of the Stop the Steal movement.
Let me just say in conclusion that, in my experience, what people can do right now is, first of all, go to places like Stop the Steal, get involved in specific activities. But second, call your state representative and your state senator. Tell them you expect the state legislature to take over the election process, because it's so clear that in key states it really matters. In Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nevada, which is a separate problem because Nevada has a Democratic governor and a Democratic legislature, and they've just frankly sealed Nevada off as a corrupt state that has no internal solutions. And if the federal government doesn't intervene, Nevada is hopeless, because it's now the most methodically illegal and corrupt system in the country, with the legislature and the governor making it literally impossible for citizens to find out what actually happened. So that's going to require some intervention, probably to the federal courts, to demand that citizens have the right to have an honest election and not a corrupted election. But in the other states, in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania and Georgia. You have Republican legislatures, and people should be calling their state representative, calling their state senator, demanding that they act. And Georgia is particularly frustrating because we have the governor, we have the secretary of state. We ought to be able to get this thing fixed. It is clear that there's corruption in the Georgia election process, and it's clear that the secretary of state caved in and gave Stacey Abrams anything her lawyers asked for. So then, in effect, Stacey Abrams has been running the elections in Georgia. And if you don't fix the process between now and the election in January, the odds are even money that all the advertising in the world won't matter, because in places like Fulton, Clayton, and DeKalb counties, those are stealing. They'll produce as many ballots as they need to offset the conservatives who turn out to vote. So I want to thank you, Ali. I think what you're doing is extraordinarily important. You're showing real citizen leadership, and I hope the people will take this all seriously, will come to Stop the Steal and take a real look at what you're doing every day, and will participate with you in these kind of activities.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thanks for all you've done for the Stop the Steal movement to this date, and we're going to keep calling on you and your leadership as we go into these states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, and Georgia, and run a dual track. The Trump campaign can go legal. We've got to go on the streets. Thanks for your leadership and being one of the avatars of the movement.
Thank you to my guest, Ali Alexander. You can read more about how you can take action on our show page at newtsworld.com. Newt's World is produced by Gingrich 360 and iHeartMedia. Our executive producer is Debbie Myers. Our producer is Garnsey Sloan, and our researcher is Rachel Peters. The artwork for the show was created by Steve Penley. Special thanks to the team at Gingrich 360. Please email me with your questions at gingrich360.com/questions. I'll answer a selection of questions in future episodes. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World.
What should we make of the press conference with Giuliani and Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis?
And I want the American public to know right now that we will not be intimidated. American patriots are fed up with the corruption from the local level to the highest level of our government, and we are going to take this country back. We are not going to be intimidated. We are not going to back down. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it, and we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who vote for freedom.
I tried to watch the conference with extreme calm, just to listen to what is being alleged and to take it in and to weigh it in my head. Now, this is the sort of opposite reaction from almost everyone else. The media was like running out of the room. It's a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy theory. Now, first of all, most organized crime is a conspiracy. So if you allege a conspiracy theory, you're merely saying that there are people who are coordinating to get something very bad done. That happens all the time. Rudy Giuliani is sort of an expert on breaking up a conspiracy called a mafia. And when he presented his indictment of these families in New York, they run the trucking industry, they run the unions, they run the garbage industry. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a conspiracy. And what is being alleged here is similar, an international conspiracy to fix elections that's been going on in other countries. It's now been imported to our country. Now, all of this has massive implications if true. And so what I want to do briefly is just drill down to the factual basis of these claims. Is it a fact that these machines can be rigged? Legally, it may not be sufficient to show that they can be rigged. You may have to show that they were rigged. But think about it. If we're operating with election machines that are susceptible to programming, to vote swapping, to rigging, is that the way we want to run elections in this country? That would be a bombshell allegation, even if it were true, merely that the machines could be rigged. Can they? True or false? Number two, are there in fact whistleblowers from Dominion and Smartmatic and these other companies who will admit and say that the machines were designed for rigging, that they were purchased by people who wanted to rig them, that those people got kickbacks for making those purchases, that there are ways for politicians to rig their own elections? True or false? I haven't seen the people who deplore conspiracy theories tell us which one it is or why. At the very least, what is alleged here is a sufficient basis for investigation and verification, because if these things are true, it will blow the lid off the Democratic Party. It will blow the lid off the political process. It will represent the greatest foreign and domestic threat to democracy itself. Heads will roll. And I suspect that the media panic, the media, there's nothing to see here, folks. Well, it's not going to work this time. And I think the media's real fear is not that all of this is false, but that a good deal of it may be true.
What if the trust you had in your republic was shattered overnight? What if the dramatic stories and scenes you watch in the comfort of your home started playing out in real life, right before your eyes? Is that what's happening? Are we living through an episode of Scandal or House of Cards? Literally overnight, Americans lost faith in the security of their elections. Middle of the night ballot dumps, glitches, and secret vote counting certainly raised suspicion. Then, things only got worse. Enter Dominion Voting Software. 6,000 votes, yes, that's right, 6,000 votes switched from President Trump to former Vice President Joe Biden, in the vital swing state of Michigan, no less. Many in the media rushed to chalk this up to human error, which begs the question, why on earth are we using software that is so easily corrupted by humans? Surely, we should be able to have enough trust in our elections to believe that the folks running them are competent enough to not make a mess of things. Sadly, that doesn't seem to be the case. Don't believe me? Just look at what happened right here in my home state of Arizona. The Republican chair of the Maricopa County Republican Party, the largest county in the country, was forced to resign from her position for failing to attend a pre-election test of the county's ballot tabulation machines. And who owns those machines? You guessed it, Dominion. This isn't the first time questions have been raised about Dominion voting software. Last year, the Texas Secretary of State rejected Dominion, citing multiple hardware and software issues. And guess which state hasn't had any voting irregularities? Dominion software almost cost this man his job. Meet Michigan resident Adam Kokendurfer. Adam went to bed thinking he had lost his bid for re-election as Oakland County Commissioner, only to wake up to find out that a Dominion glitch gave his hard-fought win to his opponent. Luckily for Adam, this mistake was caught. All roads lead to Dominion, it seems. The Canadian company is one of three voting softwares primarily used in American elections. Oddly enough, almost every single state, down to the county that's being challenged, implements Dominion. It's reported that in 2016, Dominion voting system reached approximately 71 million voters in 1,635 jurisdictions in the U.S. According to experts, if one site has a flaw, other sites are likely to have it as well. That is terrifying. And it only gets scarier when you dig deeper. According to Sidney Powell, a member of President Trump's legal team, Dominion software allows vote counters to switch votes. She even alleges that some leaders knowingly brought faulty software into their states and into jurisdictions, and claims there's evidence of kickbacks for officials who signed contracts with Dominion.
Substantial sums of money being given to family members of state officials who bought the software.
Mrs. Powell also alleges that Nancy Pelosi's former chief of staff became a lobbyist for Dominion, and that Dianne Feinstein's husband is a significant shareholder in the company. Oh, and a member of Joe Biden's transition team allegedly sits on the board of Smartmatic, a subsidiary of Dominion. If Dominion is so easily corrupted by outside forces, can you blame Americans for their concern at who might be pulling the strings? Something smells fishy. This is the United States of America, for crying out loud. We are not a banana republic. This isn't some far-fetched conspiracy theory. In 2016, an explosive investigation spearheaded by Princeton University professor Andrew Appel exposed just how easily this software can be corrupted. In his report, Appel outlines how a simple $4 computer chip can hack a machine to switch votes. 4 years ago, someone raised concerns, and yet here we are. Americans have lost faith in their ability to decide who represents them. This absolutely deserves an investigation. If we can spend years investigating fake Russia collusion claims, surely we can take a deeper look into all of these irregularities tied to Dominion. After all, if they have nothing to hide, they should have nothing to worry about, right? Or does that only apply to fake dossiers used to spy on President Trump's campaign? Americans should have confidence in the election process, and our officials that are elected must provide it. No amount of fraud is acceptable. We need a full, transparent, and independent election audit to make sure all legal votes are counted. 71 million Americans don't just deserve answers, we demand them.